All right, welcome back. 105. Thanks for being along here on 570 News. A Laurier researcher has developed a fair wage calculator to address gender pay gap. Employers can now estimate the average wages of male and female employees in Ontario that match their workers' characteristics in terms of education, experience, industry, and occupation. In cases where employers find their female workers are paid substantially less than Ontario men with similar characteristics, they will be aware and can make the changes. This is in relation to the Wage Gap Report, which advances the mission of Equal Pay Day. Equal Pay Day, by the way, falls on April 20th and brings attention to the reality that women earn, on average, 31.5% less than the annual earnings of men. Tammy Sherrill is an associate professor of economics at Wilfrid Laurier University and joins us on the show. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me today.
First thing that comes to mind is I can't believe we still need this in 2015.
It is surprising, but it continues to be a problem. Certainly, you know, when we look at wage gaps that have existed between men and women, they've gotten much smaller over the years, but they're certainly still there.
Do you think that people are still well aware of the fact that this is still the case in 2015?
No, I don't think we are. I get the impression that people aren't entirely aware of the problem or where it comes from and why it's there. We tend to look at, you know, new university graduates are heading into their first jobs. And, you know, on that first job offer, when men and women are hired at the same firm with the same qualifications, they're certainly getting paid the same wage. So it's not as obvious as it might have been, you know, 30 and 40 years ago, where we just automatically paid women less because we could, that we don't see that part of it anymore. It's the types of things that are more systemic and more subtle and aren't as blatant as they used to be that persist in the labor market.
Tell me about what you've developed, this wage calculator.
Well, the wage calculator is, you know, in the background, there's a bunch of statistics that the average person doesn't find nearly as interesting as I do. But what I've done really is crunch some statistics in the background. And then what people can do is input some basic characteristics for their employees. And I think it's been described as a fair wage calculator. But really what it's doing is taking those characteristics and telling you what the average wage is that dominates in the market right now. This is for 2014 in the private sector. And by spitting out that average wage, it says, you know, conditional on having this profile, on average, folks in the private sector are earning this wage. What I did was I created it so that it spit out a different wage for the average man with those characteristics and the average woman with those characteristics, just to really flag this general concern that on average, even, you know, within these broad categories, men are earning more than women. And that can give employers a sense of, you know, whether or not they're paying their female employees something that would be reasonably fair compared to what the average man in that industry is earning.
And how will that, do you think, address the issue of gender pay gap?
Well, unfortunately, I have to admit it's quite limited. The best that we can do here with the private sector, I think, is to try and, you know, get employers to notice the gap, recognize that it's there. I think a lot of small employers especially, they might not really be aware of the fact that, you know, there's this systemic discrimination that has been there historically that leads to women in certain occupations being paid less than men with similar skills and responsibilities. And really just making people more aware of that might lead to an ethical employer paying a bit more attention and perhaps changing their pay scales. More generally, though, I mean, these are often small employers who are very honestly trying to do the best they can. They have to compete with the other employers in town who might not be as ethical. And so, you know, in terms of trying to achieve that kind of pay equity in the private sector, we can't possibly do what the public sector's done in the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is the gender pay gap currently? Does it apply to both college and university grads?
It definitely does. Right now in Ontario, the average man is earning about $28 an hour and the average woman is earning $23. So, you know, to do the math on that, women are earning about 83% of what men are in terms of their hourly wages. Even when you look at university graduates, say you just pulled out, you know, men and women with bachelor's degrees, the men are earning on average $33 an hour, women are earning $27. And so it's even even there for those who are able to obtain some higher education.
So it's a systemic thing. I mean, even at the same education, at the same characteristics, at the same qualifications, it's still broadly across the board seems to be that way.
It is. And so we have to think about, you know, how far do we need to narrow things before the gap disappears? What we find in the data is that the main reason there's these big differences, say, between university-educated men and women, is that at university, they tend to take different paths.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even though they both have a BA, you know, women are tending to go into humanities, men are tending to go into, you know, sciences or the more math oriented types of degrees. You know, Wilfrid Laurier here is a great example where 60% of all our students are female. We have more women coming in. But if you look within economics, only 30% of our students are female. And it's like, well, why aren't the women signing up for economics? This is, you know, if you're going to sign up for university, this is a great return on your time.
Right.
And they're just not coming into here. So, you know, that's sort of a starting point for, you know, what you're entering the labor market with as a starting wage and starting your career. And, you know, how to get people to sign up for different careers to start with is the first big policy problem. After they've started out, even if they start with the same degrees and the same types of skills, you know, there's these huge differences in how we organize our families, where, you know, just traditionally and typically it's been women who take the time away to take care of the kids. They take part-time jobs. They take the parental leaves, you know, to manage everything in the household. And it's those types of things lead to employers possibly not giving that extra promotion or sending them for that extra training that gets them the raises over time. So even if they start their careers at the same wage, these gaps develop over time as, you know, women are often unreasonably rejected on
right.
training and promotions.
And you know, that's harder to put a finger on, isn't it, right? Because at the beginning, everybody might be making the same amount of money, but as time goes on, if this is systemic and it's happening, whether someone is doing it intentionally or not intentionally, but, you know, for whatever reason it's happening, it's harder to put your finger on, isn't it?
It is, exactly. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, I hate to sound so cynical, but until we see, you know, gender equality more generally, you know, where the fathers are just as likely to take parental leave or, you know, take that year off after the kids are born or take on the part-time jobs to handle school schedules, you know, when mothers and fathers do that equally, then those problems will disappear. But that's not, you know, something that's necessarily an employer being discriminatory against women. It's just the realities that
right.
that families are also facing.
Tammy Sherrill, Associate Professor of Economics at Wilfrid Laurier University. We're talking about the gender pay gap and something called a gender pay calculator. Really good email question just rolled in. So let me ask you, it's from Jill, says, I'm a woman in a male-dominated industry. While I'm suspicious my male coworkers make more, how will I actually know that for sure? It's not exactly something that everyone talks about or wants to ask HR about.
This is a very difficult thing. So the key thing here is whether or not it's a large employer or a small employer in Ontario. In Ontario, any employers with more than 10 employees have to follow the pay equity legislation. And when it's a very large employer, they have to have a very specific plan in place to ensure that these types of discrepancies don't happen. So there it's fairly well controlled. It's when you get to smaller employers where you don't really know, right? The most that a person can do really is file a complaint and try to find out, which I think most women would find risky. They
yeah.
have the legal rights there. They have, you know, they have the defense there, but you know you're taking your chances. You're stirring the pot. And I think, you know, just personally, I'd feel a bit, you know, hesitant to do that. But otherwise, yeah, you don't really know.
You don't know. And again, it's not really something that everybody tends to talk about, right? I mean, it's not like we compare paychecks.
Exactly. At least not everyone does.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of the calculator, what are some other benefits that people might find from using something like this?
Well, I think generally people can get a sense of, you know, what different types of industries and occupations and education levels can get you when you enter the market. I'd actually like to see this promoted a lot more to younger people who are thinking about what paths to take, to recognize that, you know, if you're a young woman heading into some of these careers, you should expect that it's not going to work out as well as you might hope, you know, as it would for your male colleagues entering other careers. And, you know, just get a sense of these types of things. I don't think everyone moving into the labor market is fully aware that these discrepancies exist. And perhaps if they're more aware, they can slowly disappear.
Why did you take this on personally, though? I mean, why is this important to you?
I'm a numbers junkie.
But, you know, you mentioned when we started talking that some of the statistics that people find boring might not find interesting. I think that's part of the issue, though, because, I mean, we have professionals such as yourself doing a lot of this kind of research and are full aware of the statistics and are fully aware of the situation that we're faced with. I think that, you know, I don't want to say that it's sad to hear you say that, but I think it's part of the problem that people aren't exactly aware of the numbers and aren't exactly aware of the situation.
I think that's a big deal. And I mean, for me, I'm a labor economist, and here's where you have, you know, what is an obvious problem. There's this difference in average wages for men and women. And if you want to solve that problem, you really have to understand the source of the problem. But here we have such a complex history underlying this problem that it's difficult for the average person to wrap their head around. I mean, in Canada, we used to actually have different minimum wages for men and women. In Ontario, we had this right up to 1965. We just believed intrinsically men deserved to be paid more than women, and we set it into our legislation. But it's that kind of history that gets built into the wages that we see today in male and female dominated occupations. And so trying to get people to link that history together is very, very difficult, and understand that it's that history that has led to the average woman being paying less than the average man. You know, it's a massive thought exercise for the average person. But I think it's an important one for people to try and wrap their heads around so that we can move forward to try and balance this out on both sides. I mean, men have not been moving into occupations that are often thought to be female-dominated, things like childcare and nursing and other such things, the same way that women, you know, haven't been moving into trades as much. And so, you know, there's a really big picture there that I think is really interesting from an academic point of view, but also incredibly important for policymakers to take on.
Before I let you go, do you feel like men are more valued in the workplace?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's not an easy yes or no answer to that, I think, is probably my best answer. I think more often it's that history that has placed a higher value on the types of jobs that have been typically male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tammy, thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Tammy Sherrill, right there, Associate Professor of Economics at Wilfrid Laurier University, came up with something called the Gender Pay Calculator. But let me ask you this. Have you noticed gender pay inequality in the workplace? Is this something that you've been up against? Have you noticed this? I'd love to know how you feel about it. We'll take your calls and your emails next on 570 News.
Put the smart in your smartphone. Download the 570 News app and stay informed. 570 News.
Traditionally and typically, it's been women who take the time away to take care of the kids. They take part-time jobs. They take the parental leaves to manage everything in the household. And it's those types of things lead to employers possibly not giving that extra promotion or sending them for that extra training that gets them the raises over time. So even if they start their careers at the same wage, these gaps develop over time.
We continue with the Eric Droz Show on 570 News.
All right, welcome back. It is 1:22. That is Tammy Sherrill, Associate Professor of Economics at Wilfrid Laurier University. We're talking about equal pay, the gender pay gap. Researchers at Laurier have developed this fair wage calculator to address this gender pay gap. Employers can now estimate the average wages of male and female employees in Ontario that match their workers' characteristics. And talking in terms of things like education, experience, industry, occupation, etc. And I find I find it that it's a very interesting point that Tammy makes about traditionally women being the ones that take the time off for, you know, you have a kid, you have a child, women are taking. I seem to find that that's been changing quite a bit in terms of at least my own experiences and the friends I have and the people in my life. I'm finding that, look, a lot of people around me are having kids. A lot of people and a lot of men are starting to take that time off. Just in my own experience, I find. Now, I'm not saying that's a broader trend, but I'm saying in my own experience, I've noticed it. Whereas before, Tammy's absolutely right. And traditionally, women would be the ones that take the time off. And maybe that does prevent some kind of promotion or perhaps a raise or whatever the case may be. Steve, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
What do you think?
I think the child having children does affect women's pay. I think it still does, even though it's obviously illegal.
Yeah.
It's against the law.
Well, yeah. It's against the law to specifically do it for that reason, but doesn't mean that you have to give that reason, right?
Oh, that's right. But that's the way employers get around it. In my history, the work that I did, if there was equality, I would say equality, male and female, from I'd say the early to mid 80s on. And I worked where I worked for 35 years, so I did see it where women weren't paid as well. But then in the later years, they certainly are, paid exactly equal for equal work. In fact, some areas, women are paid even better than men. Not better for the same job, but I don't know, maybe I didn't come across the right way.
I see what you're saying.
Women are getting jobs that men would normally have.
Mm-hmm.
A well-rounded company will hire people that way. So, I mean, in a way, it looks good for upper management, but it is good in the long run because you've got a balanced workplace, whether it's male, female, different ethnic, people from other backgrounds, and it rounds out the workplace.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate the phone call. Well, look, bottom line is, I mean, I think that the gender pay gap is absolutely ridiculous. And actually, BuzzFeed, I want to get to this clip because it's quite funny. I mean, BuzzFeed makes light of a lot of situations. Humor is one way of getting points across, of course. They produced a quick video that depicts just how ridiculous gender pay inequality is. Take a listen.
Only $1,273 after taxes.
Wait, you make $1,273?
Yeah, what do you make?
78% of that? But that's so weird because we have the same job. That's not fair.
Hey, Allison, can you give me those reports we talked about?
Oh, yeah. I can get you roughly 4 out of 5 of the reports.
Why not all 5?
You tell me.
So, before we adjourn, does anyone have anything to add?
Oh, I've actually noticed that in the most recent research, the most important thing that we can do...
Allison, you didn't finish your sentence.
Oh, I know. He did most of it, though. So.
Allison, are you available for a conference call at 2?
Sure. How long do you think it'll take?
About an hour.
Great.
Okay. Really need you on this one.
You got it.
As I was looking over the reports, I noticed that there was a...
2:47, time for a snack.
Allison, I feel like you're not giving this job 100%.
You're right. I'm giving it about 78%. Oh, and it's already 4:45, so I'm in overtime. Wouldn't want to cost you any extra money.
Okay, but I need you to come in this weekend.
That is a good one, Mike. I'll see ya. Can you believe that I only make 78%?
I don't even make that.
What? We need to fix this.
All right, there you go. BuzzFeed having some fun with it. We're back with the Tech Spotlight on 570 News.
570 News brings you airborne traffic reports for your morning and afternoon commute with Daryl Dahmer on 570 News.
All right, and welcome back. It is 1:34 on 570 News. It is the Tech Spotlight. We do this every Tuesday at 1:35. Joined in studio now by Jody Schnarr, the CEO of Fongo. Fongo.com is the website. Imagine not having to pay another cell phone bill again. It's a local startup called Fongo, helping Canadians do just that. And again, Jody, thanks so much for being here. How are
you? Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about Fongo. How did this all come together?
So Fongo is an app that allows you to make and receive phone calls on any of your mobile devices. It can register a second phone number. You mm-hmm. can use it on an iPad or your desktop. And it was a product that we developed at Fibernetics and spun it out about 3 years ago to be its own company. So the product came about just because we were looking to do something creative. Fibernetics is a fairly traditional phone company, and we want to do something creative and see if we could create a product that we could put out there that had absolutely no cost and provide extra value for people.
Right. And this is across iPads or tablets, cell phones, computers, and
that's right.
any yep. of one of those devices this works on.
That's right. We're on BlackBerry,
right.
Android, iOS, soon to be on Windows 10.
Okay. Now, in terms of the way it works, I mean, tell me about how this works, because the catch line here is never having to pay for a phone bill again. I mean, I think that's something that everybody doesn't even think about really often because we're just all used to paying.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, just to explain it all there, you get a full phone service. So you can make and receive phone calls. You get a phone number. You also have 911 service along with it. You get voicemail, and it's an exact replacement for a phone service. Often I get the question, how does that differ from, a chat app or a
right.
Skype?
Right.
Well, I could buy a package from Skype and I can call and order a pizza, but I can't leave the guy my Skype ID for him to call me back. So, leave the number. This is a full cell phone or mobile phone replacement. Often people use it as a second line. So you want to have another number for another purpose. You want to have a business line, or you want to have maybe you want to have a phone number in another city. That also works. We're in about 100 different cities. You can register a phone number in Vancouver when you're signing up on the application, and you can have that number forwarded to your Kitchener phone number. So
right.
If you have family out there, that eliminates the long
distance. And this number is, you're given a phone number.
Yeah, phone number.
Wow. Okay. How are you able to provide that for free?
it is pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
So being spun out of Fibernetics, that's how we have the sort of unfair advantage. So we've got an agreement. Fongo has an agreement with Fibernetics that allows it access to Fibernetics' pool of phone numbers, as well as access to its network that it has across the country. So Fibernetics spent maybe 10 years building out a network that's in about 450 different towns. And it was, it's a capital-based build, so it's not like we're paying for variable costs. When one of the Fongo customers makes a call and they talk for 20 minutes, we don't actually get a bill for the 20 minutes. We just contribute to the overall percentage of the usage we did on the network, which doesn't account to a whole lot when you strip away the extra costs.
Right. So is it Fongo can only call Fongo, or can Fongo call anything?
No, Fongo can call just about anywhere in the country.
Wow.
So anywhere that we have a network build out, you can make a call. And that includes just about every major city. Well, every major city and just about every secondary town.
Wow. And how many people are using this right now?
So right now there's about 500,000 users. We're installed on about 7% of the cell phones that are out there, which is pretty neat. We're focused primarily on Canada. So it's a pretty decent chunk of the population.
Mm-hmm.
The overall goal that we have is to sort of push that to 1 million users and eventually look to be a provider of a mobile product. So our end goal is to provide an alternative mobile service.
And this is free. Like, you don't have to pay to get the app.
That's correct.
Wow. Yeah,
the app
okay.
is completely free.
And so how long have you been around for?
We've been around for 6 years.
So 6 years.
We launched about 2008.
And yep. How have you seen the growth?
The growth's been pretty good. So far, the growth was fairly slow at the beginning. We did a deal about 2-3 years ago with a larger company that helped us get our name out there. And right now we see about 100,000 new users come on every 5 months. So would 20,000-25,000 users average per month?
Well, part of that, I would assume, is trying to get the word out, right?
Yep. Yeah. And it's mostly word of mouth. It's people that are downloading it and telling their friends and sharing their new phone number. And then those people are going and taking the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, an exciting thing that's just around the corner is we've been working about a year and a half on a business application. So we've found that a lot of our users are taking the product and using it for a second phone number to do their business relationships. So they'll give out their phone number to business contacts or if they're starting a company. So we took that base and spent a lot of time working on designing a very simple business phone application that can, again, go on your mobile device or your iPad. So that's called Fongo Works. We're still about 3-4 months out from launching that. But essentially, when you go to start a business now, you can go and you know where to open up your, where to put your website, and you go get some email accounts and you get ready to roll. And then you go to make your phone system and you kind of stop. And there's a few alternative options out there, but it's not quick and easy. So we wanted to focus on making something where somebody could go and take 5 minutes and set up a full-featured phone system with an auto attendant, voicemail boxes, extension dialing, all the features you'd see in a really rich phone system. But
right.
It's something you can automatically launch within 5 minutes for small teams.
And you said that's some months off.
Yeah, some months off. We're looking 3-4 months off before we announce the launch of that. But
so, I mean, I'm just trying to envision this. I mean, if you didn't have, a traditional provider, because that's the way you get phone numbers nowadays.
Yes.
What about things like video, text messaging, like all that, all that stays the same on your phone.
Yeah,
right?
Everything stays the same. You can have your primary service, everything that you have. This is an additional app that you download.
Right.
The phone number comes in. You also have texting inside of our application if you wish to use it, or use SMS. You can buy SMS packs. You can buy coupons to be able to call worldwide.
What about data?
Data, you would get your normal data plan from your provider.
Okay.
And this works, you know, fantastic in Wi-Fi and also when you're roaming on LTE. So if you're out, you have your data plan, you've got a primary phone number, you want to get a second phone, for example, for business, this is where this would really make sense.
Are people using it as a primary source as well?
Yes, we have. We figure there's about 300,000 people that are using it as a primary phone service. We've done that with statistics and usage patterns, and they qualify as this would be, you know, a primary phone service.
And it's as simple as downloading the app.
That's right.
And everything starts working.
Yep. You go in the App Store, you download it, you choose where you want your phone number. It can be Kitchener, Montreal, Vancouver,
and that's
anywhere
instant
in the country
as well. You're provided with a phone number instantly.
Right on the spot.
Wow. Okay. Check out Fongo.com. That is Jody Schnarr right there, CEO of Fongo. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that. It is a Tech Spotlight. Quick break. We're back with much more here on 570 News.
John Wilson's Weather Guarantee. Weekdays at 7:11. Only on 570 News.
All right, welcome back. It is 1:47 here on 570 News Tech Spotlight, and we're joined in studio now by Julie Dopko, the Director Talent Programs at Communitech. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
We'll just get you just a little bit closer to the microphone. There you go. That's perfect. Thanks again for being here. And Jason Field is here as well, the founder of BrainStation, brainstation.io. Thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Thank you very much for having us. Doing very well today.
You guys had this really long walk across from just across the street, right, at the Communitech Hub. Why don't we start off? So BrainStation is partnering with Communitech to launch its digital education courses in Waterloo this June. Tell me about the partnership. How did that start?
Sure. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so the partnership has more or less revolved around BrainStation's expansion from Toronto across Canada. The natural extension along the Golden Horseshoe into Waterloo. We were looking for the most impactful and empowering space possible, and it was a no-brainer in the end. Communitech was that space.
Yeah.
A whole lot of exciting things happening in the startup and entrepreneurial scene.
I had just, maybe it was about a month ago, my first tour of that Communitech Hub. It's really cool. There's a lot of cool things happening there. Are tours of that just open if somebody wanted to go in and have a look around?
Sure. Well, we're always open. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I just because I went in and I didn't realize how many cool things were happening there. So there was a machine where you get to stand in and it's like 3D and you're in like a video game. Anyway, there's a lot of cool stuff happening there. Tell me a little bit more about BrainStation, though. What is it all about?
Yeah. So we started BrainStation about 2 years ago based out of Toronto. There are a few different, I guess, angles to it. Ultimately, we're all just about empowering individuals from a non-technical background and helping them in a fun and collaborative space get into the tech space.
That's me. You're talking right to me.
You could be one of our future students here in Waterloo. So we really kicked it off with kind of technical-specific courses. We've evolved into much more than that at this point. We help out those that are already technical, becoming even more technical. But ultimately, the courses that we're kicking off here in Waterloo, intro to web development, user experience design, and intro to iOS development, are more or less for those that are completely new to the space and are looking to get in, whether they're looking to become junior developers, take their idea and make it a reality with an iOS application, or simply put, learn the technical know-how to communicate better with their technical teams. That's kind of where we're from, what we're about, and we really focus on finding the coolest places in each of the cities that we operate in providing a very unique kind of educational experience. So finding these unique hubs, pairing up the students with industry practitioners versus mm-hmm. academics. So mm-hmm. in Toronto, for instance, we have educators from Twitter, Facebook, Google, Shopify, Wattpad, just some really, really cool startups and established companies. And they come into the class and teach in typically an 8-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio.
Well, you know, it's funny because how often, and I mean, to anybody listening right now, how often are you having a conversation with someone about whatever, anything, really? I mean, choose a topic and you say to yourself, oh, that would be a really cool app or you know, oh, somebody should come up with an app for that, right? And you say to yourself, even if you have a cool idea, but you're not a technical person, where do you go? How do you start? I wouldn't even know how to start if I had an idea for an app. So is that why this idea came around?
Yes, that's exactly it. So we look to empower many different people. Yeah. Some are entrepreneurs like you've spoken to. They have an idea. They want to see it come to life. And whether it is that they are ultimately going to be developing it themselves or bringing on more senior technical help, it always helps to know exactly what's happening. Being able to establish kind of a roadmap to when your project is going to be launched, establishing a cost of the project itself. And then ultimately, even those that are working for larger companies, as we continue to progress into a more digital era, the technical know-how is going to become more and more important and vital for all members, all stakeholders of every single business.
I couldn't agree more with that. So what exactly will be happening in terms of these courses? Are these part-time courses?
Yes. So we do have a full-time course in Toronto as well. Our part-time courses in Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, and now Waterloo. The ones I mentioned earlier that are coming up are Intro to Web Development, User Experience Design, and Intro to iOS Development. They are on either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, depending on the course, and they run 6:45 to 9:45 for 12 weeks. So it's a 36-hour in-person course. And again, that kind of intimacy that we establish at the 8-to-1 student-teacher ratio is really what allows you to get much further than if you were learning on your own or in a more traditional environment where it might be one instructor with hundreds of students.
So right now you guys have a space at Communitech, right? That you got,
correct.
You got the space. So what does it mean to Communitech for having them there?
Yeah, well, we're very excited. I think with BrainStation coming on, Communitech has really focused on non-technical training.
Mm-hmm.
We've done HR, we've done business fundamentals for our startup companies, but this is really one of the first technical programs that we've been able to offer our tech companies, and this really serves a great need in our tech community.
Yeah. Now, the people that would most benefit from this already have companies? Or do you just need an idea to benefit from something like this?
I think it can be either or. I think, again, if you have an idea and you're looking to start that from scratch, this is the place to do it. It's kind of a great opportunity for you to dip your feet in the water, see if this is kind of, the right thing for you. But even those that are in more established businesses, we do enterprise training as well. So we can go in and do kind of an a la carte module and train your either technical team to become more technical or add different layers to their technicality, or it can be for those that, let's say, are managing technical teams. So it's kind of a mix of both.
You're very passionate about this. Why do you think that is? Why are you so passionate about this?
I think ultimately we as founders of BrainStation approach it from the standpoint of learners as well. So you will actually find me in our classes in Toronto constantly. I take one per cohort. And ultimately, we look to hire on the individuals as instructors that we all want to learn from as well. And that leads to our students getting the best experience possible, because I truly think that these digital skills are what will set us as Canadians apart. Those in Waterloo, Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, ultimately any city with over 500,000 people, even 200,000 people, that is who we're looking to impact. And that's kind of where BrainStation can be sustained.
And Waterloo is really a no-brainer, right?
Exactly, yes.
What's the view like of Waterloo from people in Toronto?
So it seems to be a natural extension in terms of the tech space. We're finding that also just in terms of as we're looking for our lead educators, teaching assistants, et cetera, the excitement that is here in this community to actually give back and to kind of continue to build on what has already been created here is absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's more established, innovative companies like RIM and stuff like that, but some really cool startups like Thalmic Labs and stuff like that. Yeah. There are some really, really incredible and exciting things happening here.
Very cool. So what's next for you guys then, and what's next for this partnership?
Yeah, well, our courses start June 10th, so yeah. that will be step one. We have an info session at Communitech actually this Thursday, so definitely check that out. I believe it's from 6 until 10 p.m., so you can come and actually speak to us in person, learn a bit more about the courses.
Sorry to cut you off, but that's this Thursday?
That is this Thursday, okay. Correct, yeah. And we are actually going to start hosting community events. So it's actually how we established our brand initially in Toronto. We hosted these free community events led by thought leaders to give people kind of a bite size, a sample size of what a BrainStation course might look like, and ultimately just to empower people.
And in the fall, is there something happening in the fall? Are there other courses that you'll be introducing?
Yeah, so the kind of rollout plan is that we have 7 part-time courses now in Toronto and a full-time immersive program, and we are going to be bringing all of those to Waterloo as well in about 2 courses per quarter.
Okay, very cool. Well, listen, I mean, I think it's a very cool idea. I wish you best of luck. I'll have to come by Communitech again.
Please do.
I had so much fun the first time I was there. And I've been doing this tech spotlight for about a year now. And I realized just last month that I'd never been through a tour. So somebody said, come on down. Anyway, it was fantastic. We're right out of time. It is 1:57. That is Julie Dopko, Director Talent Programs at Communitech. Communitech.ca is the website, and Jason Field, founder of BrainStation, brainstation.io. For June, are you still accepting people, or is that all?
We are, yes.
Okay.
So definitely check out brainstation.io, and you can apply online.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in studio. I had a blast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Coming up next, All News Afternoons, Joe Pavia, Kristen Clark, standing by right here on 570 News.